For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to episode 409 of The Lab. I'm Brad Barton.
I'm Phil Barton.
This is one in our continuing series on money and economics. If you'd like to hear the other episodes, you can find them by visiting thelabwithbrad.com.
Song about it.
There is?
Yeah, money, money, money.
Oh, yes. Okay, but first, no episode next week.
Yes.
For once, it's not a holiday or anybody's birthday.
No.
Our house needs some work. It's a bit of an emergency, so next week that's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Our apologies for not being able to do an episode and taking an unwanted holiday.
Right. Yeah. And if you feel some way about it, please email us.
Somebody tell us something.
Hello.
You're a nickel smuggler.
I take offense to that.
That comes from our buddy Matt.
That's right.
A.K.A. Welcome Matt.
Mm-hmm.
Just one day he started wandering around and just calling people nickel smugglers.
Right. It doesn't. Yeah.
I don't know when he did that.
I'm not sure if it ever made any sense.
But if it was around 2006 or after 2006, it is, in fact, illegal
really?
To export nickels.
When did
And pennies, both pennies and nickels. No melting them down and no exporting them. So there might actually be nickel smugglers out there.
I don't really want to give him any credit, but do you think that's what he was talking about?
I have no idea. No way of knowing now.
Yeah.
We lost track with him. But it was illegal. It may still be illegal. I don't know how that law came worked out over time. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I can talk. I do it for a living. Ask me why. Why would they do such a thing?
I am very curious. Yeah.
All right. Well, same reason why in 1982 they went from making mostly copper pennies to making mostly zinc pennies.
Oh.
With a bit of copper around the outside because the price of copper went up. And for a while there, the metal content of a penny was worth about 2 cents, while an actual penny was worth 1 cent.
Yeah, so melt it all down.
So people would, collect a bunch of pennies and then smelt them. Melt them, and then just sell the actual metal.
Well, that sounds like fun anyways. I would like to melt down some pennies. Wouldn't do me any good now,
though. No, also, I did mention illegal.
Oh, right, federal offense. Crap! Well, they got these penny smashers in all these tourist traps.
Yeah, actually, there's a specific exception to the ordinance involving novelty or use for jewelry.
Oh.
As long as the intent is not to take the metal and just sell it.
Okay.
Nice of them, huh?
Yeah. I thought everybody was just turning a blind eye. They're like, oh, yeah, sure, smash it. We won't charge you this time.
It's not the first time this has affected United States coins. I mean, the silver dime. For example, price of silver got way over 10 cents for that month's silver. So what they did is debase the coins. That's the technical term. You mix some other metal, some cheaper metal in, so that people are less tempted to destroy your money.
Well, does that mean, so nickel was actually made in nickel? Is that?
I have no idea why they included nickels.
Mm.
It is not made of nickel anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's some in there. But
it got the name from somewhere. I mean,
it's not just United States coins. This is actually a plagued coinage since the beginning. People would do things like clip the coin, just take a little bit off the edge here.
Yep.
And then they'd spend it as if it was worth what the face value says.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they take all those clippings and melt them down and get the gold, silver, copper, what have you.
That seems like a great idea.
It's like spending your money and having it too.
Yes.
There's something called Gresham's Law.
Okay.
Whereas any currency that has been devalued tends to be in the market more than the original currency.
Oh, okay.
For the simple reason that you got like a bad penny, it always turns up. you go ahead and spend that one. You got one of these pre-1982 pennies. You're going to hoard that.
Yeah, yeah. Coin collectors aside, you know, you can actually make money off the dang thing.
But still a $10,000 fine and 5 years in jail, but never mind.
Right, right. Why does this bar, smelted bar of copper, have Abraham Lincoln's face on it? Don't worry about it.
But yeah, so that's an issue with coins. But that's not how coins got started.
Oh, yep.
We did actually talk about how they got started in Rome on Monday. Our show is brought to you by the Opinionated Seafood Company, purveyors of the Happy Clam and Angry Oyster. You may not want to order either one.
They can't make a pearl without shoving some sand down the throat of an oyster.
Speaking of pearls, money. Yeah. So we left off with commodity-based monies.
Yes.
Right. So today we are going to talk about the Roman Empire.
Really? Okay.
Well, the Romans. They weren't an empire yet, at least not when we start with this.
Oh, okay.
They actually started out as a fairly small nation and fairly insular. They weren't conquering the world yet. They also needed something they could trade to use for money. Mm-hmm. And like many cultures, they started with a metal.
Okay.
But it wasn't gold.
Oh.
Or silver.
What?
It was bronze.
Why? Well,
it's valuable.
Yeah.
And everybody could use it.
Mm-hmm.
And mind you, we're talking about up until about the 4th century BC before they started using coins.
Ah.
They were actually using lumps of bronze.
So here's this hunk of metal.
No particular standard weight and not even a particular standard mix of metals.
Does it look good to bronze. You?
But they did come up with a sort of pseudo-standard pricing.
Okay.
Like, for example, not necessarily historically accurate, but like here's 100 pounds of bronze for an ox.
Okay.
Here's 10 pounds of bronze for a sheep.
Mm-hmm. Just like that.
Just like that. Later, they decided to start making little bars of bronze.
Okay.
Yeah. This was a highly leaded tin bronze that they used as a standard weight and measurement.
Okay.
And they sometimes would stamp the bar with like something it was equivalent to, like an ox or a sheep.
I'm seeing a trend here. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So this was money. Uh-huh. But it was big, and it was clunky, and it's not much good for small change.
You need to bring an ox with you to collect X amount of oxes of metal. Yes.
So in the 3rd century, or towards the end of the 3rd century? Yeah, Romans spread into southern Italy.
Oh, okay.
Where they were bumping into a bunch of colonies and settlements from the Greeks.
Okay.
And the Greeks had already invented coins and been using them for quite a while.
Oh.
So the Romans were familiar with them, and they decided, good idea.
I see your coin, and I raise you. Okay, yeah.
So again, they're making a bronze coin. The first one was based on the Roman pound. Okay. It weighed about that much and was about that big. It was huge. Then along comes the Second Punic War, which lasted 17 years. It was the war against Carthage and their evil general Hannibal.
Oh.
Evil? Well, you know, him and his elephants.
Well, the name's got a reputation.
I've seen that movie.
Right.
Anyway, they got into an inflationary spiral because of the cost of the war and the discovery of silver deposits in Spain. And their coins got more and more would buy less and less.
Okay.
So they actually responded by debasing their own currency.
Hoarding
by making
it
or smaller coins.
Oh.
So in about 211 BC, they made the silver denarius.
Okay.
They made a couple of other silver coins. Rarer, though, because they were bigger and worth a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
And the bronze, later made of copper, os.
Ox? It was
ounce. It almost sounds like ounce.
Okay. Ah.
Os. But I don't really know how to pronounce ancient Latin words, so this is as close as I can get.
Okay.
This actually gave them small coinage that was a lot easier to spend and a lot easier to move around.
Yeah, yeah.
So it kind of stabilized their economy. Good job, Romans.
Hey, after you, you did something. Good, mm-hmm. good job.
So along comes Julius Caesar, who, by the way, never did actually become emperor. He was headed in that direction, but he got killed.
There was an Et tu, Brute? Yeah, okay, yeah.
Yes, Julius Caesar had his face stamped on the coins.
Ha! Did he pose for that picture? Or I mean,
I actually don't know.
I wonder about the logistics of how they came up with that.
I don't know. That was on the obverse side of the coin. On the reverse was other stuff that I can't remember.
Sheep.
But they were actually using the coins in addition as a way to store value or provide a way to spend as a way to send little messages to one another.
Oh.
For example, Brutus.
Okay.
Yeah, he issued a coin in his own province with his face on one side.
Okay.
On the other side, I think it says the Liberty Cap. I'm not sure. Some kind of monument.
Uh-huh.
And a couple of daggers representing the murder of Julius Caesar and what a great thing it was.
Holy crap. Wow. I mean, they just, no guilt here. Just going to make a coin out of it.
Starting with Augustus, the first emperor of Rome, the emperor took over making coins out of silver and gold.
Oh, okay.
But the Senate maintained control over minting copper coins.
Interesting.
Yes, because, well, copper coins were a lot more common.
Yeah.
And a lot more likely to pass through people's hands.
Ah.
And they were even made locally. There were various provinces where they'd commemorate this war that they won or putting down this uprising. And over there way in the east of the Roman Empire, they'd never heard of any of that. They don't care.
Right. It makes me think of those infomercials with the special made coins, you know, 99.9% silver.
I mean, it's not like we don't still do this.
Mm-hmm.
You had an Alabama State quarter the other day.
I certainly did, yeah.
How did they spread these messages?
Right, yeah.
One of the ways was by giving their soldiers chunks of money.
Okay.
It was a particular chunk of money they would give to each and every soldier every time a new emperor came into power.
Weird. Okay.
It was donativa.
What, that's the sum?
That was the name of this payment.
Ah, okay.
The donativa, which eventually became the word donation.
Ah, ooh, interesting. New emperor.
Here.
Don't worry about it. Stay loyal, guys.
All right, so Rome actually did get the idea of coins probably from the Greeks.
Uh-huh.
So you might be wondering, who came up with coins first?
Right, right.
It's kind of hard to tell. It might have actually been the Greeks, or at least part of the Greek culture.
Mm-hmm.
In his first book of histories, the Greek
historian
Herodotus
claimed
that the kingdom of Lydia came up with it first.
Lydia, huh?
Lydia was around from about 1200 BC to about 500 BC. And yeah, they made coins. They started. Yes,
that was their GDP.
They started with lumps of something called electrum, which is a naturally occurring alloy of mixed gold and silver.
Okay.
Now, the weight wasn't standardized. The gold content wasn't standardized. It wasn't really taking off.
Right.
Until our friend Croesus.
Good old
came King
Croesus.
Of Lydia.
Yay, King Croesus. Wow.
Which is around modern-day Turkey. He issued the Croesus.
Okay.
This was the first standardized weight and gold content and weight and silver content coins.
Huh.
And the first known example of using two different metals, a bimetal currency.
Was that to devaluate as well? Or, I mean, were they worried?
That was just to standardize everything.
Okay.
Huh. So you could grab one of his coins and be relatively certain that it had as much metal as you thought it did.
Okay.
But you do bring up a valid point.
Mm-hmm.
Like usually, nowadays, the face value is worth more than the metal is.
Now, yeah.
And they tried to do that on purpose.
Well, that makes sense, right?
All right, but who gets to decide this coin is just magically worth more than what it's made of?
Yes, right?
And how?
It's a mystery to me.
We'll talk about that next time. See you then.
Bye.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.